Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to talk about a very important case that's before the Supreme Court. In fact, hearings were conducted today in opening statements on the what's called the Peace Cross Memorial, a World War One memorial in Bladensburg, Maryland. And there has been a lawsuit filed by an atheist group to have the cross taken down. Now, this 40-foot cross was erected in memorial of those World War One veterans who perished and or served in World War One. It stands there at the memorial, and it's 40 feet tall, and it's been there for since 1917, so it is 100 years old, and yet this atheist group wants it removed. We're going to go to a news clip from Fox News to give us an update.
I want you to take a look at this World War One memorial. It stands 40 feet tall and has been there for nearly 100 years. Now some non-Christians are apparently up in arms over its shape, and they want it taken down. Back now with new details is Fox News chief correspondent Jonathan Hunt. Jonathan, what's going on here?
Good evening again, Lisa. This is a case that focuses on just one memorial in Maryland, but it could have far-reaching consequences impacting monuments across the nation, including some at Arlington National Cemetery. The memorial at the center of this case is a cross that honors World War One veterans in Bladensburg, Maryland. Its construction was started by community members and mothers whose sons died in World War One, and it was completed by the American Legion. A lower court has ruled that the cross should be removed because it violates the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, which of course reads, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But an amicus brief filed by 30 states says the Supreme Court, quote, should reverse the lower court's call for its destruction, as its place in our national tradition and broader cultural context make clear. The Bladensburg Memorial honors both the service members it was built to honor and the constitutional ideals, including in the First Amendment, they died to defend. And West Virginia's Attorney General, who led the group of 30 states in challenging the lower court, said, quote, we owe a great deal of gratitude to the brave men and women who sacrificed everything for our country. Honoring that sacrifice with memorials that include religious symbols does not violate the U.S. Constitution and is one of the many freedoms these men and women fought to preserve. Now, the challenge to the 93-year-old cross began with the American Humanist Association, a nonprofit atheist organization that has, of course, Lisa, filed similar lawsuits across the country.
Well, here we go with the God Haters Club, these atheist groups that are coming against religious symbols in the public and on public square. And actually, this time, it is a World War One memorial that has stood for a century. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It was in honor of those veterans who served and or died in World War One defending our freedoms. And yet, this atheist group finds it offensive that this monument even exists, and they want it taken down and destroyed. This case is before the U.S. Supreme Court even as we speak. With us on the phone is Attorney Josh Brown from Columbus, Ohio. He serves at Graff & McGovern Attorneys in Law. He will be doing legal work for the Ohio Christian Alliance. With us on the phone is one of the members of our good friends at Liberty Counsel, Harry Myhett, Vice President of Legal Affairs and Chief Litigation Counsel, is with us. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Definitely great, Chris, to be with you, Chris.
Harry, right now, Matt Staver, Chairman of Liberty Counsel, is there at the Supreme Court. The Liberty Counsel, have you actually filed a suit or an amicus brief on this case?
We filed an amicus brief defending the Peace Cross against the bulldozers of the atheists that are ever more hostile in their desire to rid our nation of any and every reference to religion in the public square.
Well, we're so glad that Liberty Counsel is there and Matt Staver's there watching. Of course, it's not telecast on TV. There will be some information that comes out later after today's presentation in the court on this case. As it indicated in the Fox News piece, there's not just about this cross that stands 40 feet tall that's been there for 100 years at a memorial that was dedicated, by the way, paid for by families when it was erected to honor the dead and also those who served us in World War One. But the ramifications of this case, depending upon how it's decided in the Supreme Court, could in fact strike a lethal blow to any kind of religious symbolism at war memorials or government cemeteries across the country. Josh, your thoughts on that?
Thanks, Chris. And I would even add that there's even more facts. This is an example of where it's the most secular situation you can imagine. The only thing that's religious about it is that there's a religious symbol in the cross. The memorial was built by private parties in 1917, like you said. The government didn't even take ownership of the property for 40 years after the memorial was built. And the only reason that they, and this is on the record and agreed to, the only reason the government took any control over it was because it was obstructing transportation and they needed to have control of it for transportation purposes. There's an inscription on the monument that's non-religious. It says valor, endurance, courage, and devotion. There's a pedestal next to it that says dedicated to the heroes of Prince George's County, Maryland, who lost their lives in the Great War for the liberty of the world. It has a list of the 49 men who died that the memorial honors. At the time, in World War One, they didn't ship bodies back to the United States after people died. Back then, the technology wasn't accommodating to that. So they buried people in Europe, and most people that died in World War One were buried in Europe, and the way that they buried them was with a cross to memorialize their gravesite, which was a lot of times right on the battlefield.
Well, that's right.
So that cross is...
Well, there's actually a large U.S. cemetery just outside of Paris. It's the World War One cemetery. I'm actually going to visit that with my wife as we head to Europe next week. And actually, we're going to take in Normandy while we're there, but we're going to also visit the U.S. cemetery outside of France where many of our war dead are buried, just as you indicated. I'm reading from the article here. It says, fundraising for the Peace Cross began soon after the war to end all wars concluded, spearheaded by Gold Star mothers, those who are moms who lost their sons in World War One. Prince George County, Maryland, who lost their sons to battle, it honors the 49 men, as you indicated, including an African-American soldiers and a Medal of Honor recipient. It was completed in 1925, built by members of local American Legion Post with private donations. It was later rededicated as a memorial to honor all American veterans. And again, the original property wasn't even government land. You know, Harry, as I'm listening to this, I'm wondering why this case is even all the way to the Supreme Court. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's kind of a picture of where we are in this country when it comes to these atheists' insatiable desire to rid us of our national monuments. Because both of the lower courts in this case ruled in favor of the atheists. They ruled that this cross is unconstitutional all of a sudden now, almost 100 years after it was erected, and they ruled that the cross had to come down. And so all that stands now between the bulldozers of these atheists and this 100-year-old monument and many other monuments like it across the land are five justices on the United States Supreme Court. That's a breathtaking thought, if you think about it, and one that our founders would roll in their graves if they knew that this was happening. The good news is that we have had some.
I got to tell you, Harry. We often say they'd roll over in their graves. I have to say they would take up arms. I got to tell you, at this point, I'm not so sure they'd be so passive about it. Josh, your thoughts?
Well, sure, and think about the irony here that our war heroes, who went to Europe to give their blood and their life for freedom there, could now be honored with a cross on the European continent, but back home, that somehow would be unconstitutional. That is just a ridiculous thought, and it just shows you how far down this road we've gone.
Okay. Josh, tell us, as Harry just indicated, two lower courts. Who were those two lower courts? Which path did this particular case take?
So the court, this case originated in the Maryland District Court, and our side won at that level. The people that are defending the monument won.
Yes.
It went to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. It went before a panel of judges, and those judges ruled against us. And then there was a motion for it to be heard by the entire Fourth Circuit. That was where it got heated. It was an 8-6 decision, and the dissenters were very animated in their dissent. The law is clearly on our side in this case, if you look at the case law. So that's when it went to the Supreme Court.
Mm.
There is a debate. The law is really messy in this area, but there's a debate over what test even applies to determine whether it's legal or not. But the American Legion should win under any of the tests, because no matter what test you use, if there's a secular purpose, if the context of the religious symbol is not to promote religion or establish a religion, then that has always been deemed to be constitutional.
You know, Harry, as we look at this, and I'm listening, because I hear from moms and dads all the time and telling us about in public schools where they're learning about Islam, that their children are actually involved in some kind of exercise of prayer rugs and praying towards the east and this demonstration of Islam. This would be an outrage if we had done the same, if we're saying Christian prayer and Bible reading and during class time. Just think of or Judaism. But yet, this under the guise of, we're trying to open up their minds and educate. And they're actually presenting Islam in the classroom. And yet, these are the same liberals who, on the level of the courts and striking down any kind of religious symbolism that's displayed, you know, as far as in cemeteries or on public buildings, you know, it's an insidious outrage for them that they've got to see it tore down. Your thoughts on that? There's a double standard,
right,
in other words.
It's a classic case of what's good for me, but not for thee here. It seems like we're at a point in our country now where we have diversity and tolerance when it comes to anything and everything except our Judeo-Christian traditions and our Judeo-Christian roots. Those have become intolerable, and there's no room for them now. The problem with the various tests that the courts have used to look at these monuments is that they're so malleable and so adapt to being used by courts to achieve whatever outcome they decide that they want to achieve. It's basically standardless discretion, and whenever they want to reach a result, they just reach into the shelf for the right test to apply to reach that result. And so the founders would not stand for this kind of nonsense. And so that's why at the Supreme Court, Liberty Council and a number of other groups that argued in favor of this cross asked the Supreme Court to throw out all of these previous tests and to replace them with the coercion test, which I think really gets at what our founders were trying to prevent with the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. That is, as long as the government does not coerce someone to engage in a particular religious exercise or to follow the dictates of a particular religion. And the government may acknowledge the fact that our citizens do have religious inclinations and religious traditions without violating the Establishment Clause. And so we really hope that the Supreme Court listens and adopts a test such as this that would then basically throw out of court all of these easily offended atheists that want to come and say, well, just because I've looked at it and it offends me, it's got to come down regardless of how 99.9% of my fellow Americans feel about the same historical monument.
Well, that's right.
That's accurate.
Josh, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so the only thing that they're saying is actionable is that they were offended by the sight of it. And he's right that and what he said, the one thing that I'd like your listeners to really gather from what we're talking about is the Establishment Clause of the Constitution is there to protect people from religious discrimination, not to mandate discrimination against people in a religious context. So if the government offers something or it allows something, but they say you can't do it or you can't have the funds or you can't do it because your religious institution, that's what the Establishment Clause protects against, discrimination against religion. And so in this case, they're saying you have to take it down because it's a religious symbol, when in fact, it's actually a secular symbol. It happens to have a religious history to it, but that's common with our traditions throughout history. The test that he is referring to, the coercion test, comes from a case called Greece versus Galloway. And that was about prayer before legislative session. And that was Justice Kennedy's opinion that talked about interpreting the Establishment Clause according to historical practices and understandings, not trying to question the content of what people are saying or what it is, but is this something that we've done historically? Is this something that historically would have offended the Establishment Clause? And the really good thing about that opinion was it doesn't matter if people take offense to it as long as there's no coercion in it. And that was the same as here in Ohio. We have the state motto on the grounds of the state house, which says, with God, all things are possible, which is a reference to a verse from Matthew. In that case, it was the same thing. The judge said, which I really agree with, is, if you take offense to it, your recourse is through the legislative process and the voting process, not through the courts and forcing people to take this down. This monument in Maryland has been up for 100 years. It's only received one complaint in history, and it's just the one that is being litigated now. This is the only complaint they've ever had for that monument.
Well, it's a seek and destroy mission by these humanist atheist groups. They seek to do this. They seek for weakness. They also look for favor. They do court shopping to see where they might receive a favorable decision on the at the outset of their cases that they filed. And they're on a seek and destroy mission. And it really is a battle for basically our fundamental rights and our religious liberty. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. With me on the phone is Josh Brown, an attorney from Columbus, Ohio. He'll be doing some legal work with the Ohio Christian Alliance. And also Harry Myatt, who is Vice President of Legal Affairs and Chief Litigation at Liberty Counsel. Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief on this case. In fact, 30 state attorney generals filed amicus briefs as well. So there was a lot of people weighing in on this one. Harry, your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, that's right. 30 states led by the attorney general of the state of West Virginia filed an amicus brief in defense of the cross. Numerous other groups across the country did as well, as the Trump administration as well chimed in support of this monument, which was a great thing to see. You know, the fact of the matter is that by and large, most people in this country either want to have these kinds of monuments to continue to remind us of the great sacrifices that have been made for our freedom, or have no objection against them. It is the extreme but very vocal minority of people that are militant in their desire to rid us of these monuments and these reminders. And unfortunately, it's not really strictly limited to crosses. You know, at Liberty Council right now, we've just wrapped up successfully a number of cases defending Ten Commandments monuments in the public square. We were successful in defending those in Florida. And right now in Indiana, we have two cases in two separate counties in Indiana where the atheists are suing the counties because they dared to display nativity scenes at Christmas time in conjunction with Santa and the reindeer and the elves. Just a token recognition of the fact that at Christmas we also happen to celebrate the birth of Christ, that offended these atheists, and so we find ourselves defending these two counties in Indiana. So the struggle is one that will continue across the country unless the Supreme Court uses this opportunity now to do away with the nightmarish Establishment Clause jurisprudence that it has set up until now, and establish a more objective coercion test that would allow these traditions to continue.
Well, that's right. And, you know, this is such an important work. One of the things we do at the Ohio Christian Alliance is present framed copies of the Ten Commandments for hanging in the office of office holders. Any office holder that will accept our invitation, we present them with a beautiful framed copy of the Ten Commandments. We've been doing this since 2003. We've had over 200 members of the Ohio General Assembly and statewide office holders accept our invitation, as well as congressional and senatorial members, to receive the Ten Commandments for hanging in their offices. We're going to do that later this spring, and we'll give you more information about that. If you'd like to support the Ohio Christian Alliance, you can log on to our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and make an online contribution. It supports this radio broadcast and the mission of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Harry, obviously, Matt's up there on the Supreme Court today, and you're doing some stellar work at Liberty Council. How can people reach Liberty Council?
Listen, we appreciate the prayerful support of the people. We're engaged in a spiritual battle first and foremost, and so we covet the prayers of God's people. We also covet their financial support. We never charge a dime for any of the litigation that we do across the country in defending our Constitution and the right of Christians to live their faith authentically in the public square. And so I urge your listeners, if they're led, to read more about us and to support us on our website, www.lc.org. That's LC as in Liberty Council, .org.
Harry, thank you so much for joining us today. Send the team there at Liberty Council our blessing and our thanks for all the great work they're doing. Josh Brown, thank you for joining us today. And, of course, you'll be on future programs as we'll be giving updates of what the Ohio Christian Alliance is doing in defending the religious liberties of Christians. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. And thank you for listening. And if you missed any of today's program, you can always listen on our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening. God bless.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance. We have an online petition to support the Covington Catholic High School students. The petition reads, "Today I join the Ohio Christian Alliance and my fellow concerned citizens in calling for the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department to investigate the dangerous threats that were made against the Covington Catholic High School students and to secure their safety and security. It is important for us as a Christian advocacy organization to stand with these students who simply went to the March for Life and were expressing their civic responsibility to stand for the unborn. They became the target of counter-protesters and a hate campaign that was generated by social media. Join us in signing the petition to support the Covington Catholic High School students by logging on to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance.
This is Molly Smith, president of Cleveland Right to Life. Please save the dates March 8th and 9th, 2019 for the 10th annual Bringing America Back to Life convention at the Embassy Suites in Independence, Ohio. Join us as once more we host Cleveland Right to Life's most significant education platform designed to equip and engage all those involved in the greatest civil rights issue of our day, the right to life. Our Friday dinner keynote speakers are actor Nick Loeb and Hollywood producer Kathy Allen, who are co-producing the dramatic film Roe v. Wade, the movie, which shows what led to the Supreme Court's decision that legalized abortion. Backed by popular demand, as our keynote dinner speaker on Saturday is none other than the much-loved Star Parker, who has almost single-handedly exposed the depth of despair in the urban community caused by out-of-control abortion and the breakdown of the family. Don't miss these powerful messages. Join us March 8th and 9th at this unique convention right here in Cleveland. For information, go to bringingamericabacktolife.org or call Laura at 440-458-6240. That's bringingamericabacktolife.org or call Laura at 440-458-6240.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to be talking about Ohio's heartbeat bill today. And it has again been reintroduced at the Ohio State House, this time in the Senate chamber. Last week, as we reported, it had a sponsor hearing. The sponsor is Christina Rogner. She is a new senator from Northeast Ohio. She served in the Ohio House. She won election to serve in the Ohio Senate. And quickly, she reintroduced Ohio's heartbeat bill. As you remember, last December, as drama unfolded, as a veto override measure was launched at the Ohio State House, as Governor Kasich again, unfortunately, vetoed the bill. There were enough votes in the Ohio House, and it was very close in the Ohio Senate. They needed 20 votes. They only came up with 19. There was some holdouts, and unfortunately, by one vote, the veto override measure failed. So it was indeed important that the bill quickly be reintroduced. The good news is we now have the right complement of leadership in the Ohio House, the Ohio Senate, and a governor who has pledged to sign Ohio's heartbeat bill. With me on the phone to talk about yesterday's hearing at the Ohio State House, which a proponent testimony, expert witnesses came in from around the country to testify in support of Ohio's heartbeat bill, is Mark Harrington of Created Equal and also Molly Smith, the executive director of Cleveland Right to Life. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, thank
Hi,
you.
Mark.
Well, you know, I'm so happy that both of you are here. You've done such great work in the pro-life cause for many years. Mark, of course, with the Center for Bioethical Reform for many years, now with Created Equal, the young people that you encourage to engage their culture on the life issue, on colleges and universities and on the street, to actually bring the issue of abortion to the public square has been so helpful to turning the hearts and minds of many for many years. Molly, of course, your fine work at Cleveland Right to Life. You have a wonderful annual nationally renowned conference that's coming up here in a couple weeks, the Bring America Back to Life Conference at Embassy Suites. That's on March 8th and 9th. We'll give all the details to listeners on that in just a few minutes. Molly, your thoughts about Ohio's heartbeat bill at this time around?
Very excited, hoping that this is going to be the end. We are very confident that we have the right leadership, as you said in the opening statement there, Chris. I think we do. I think we've also got the right statewide Right to Life movement behind us right now. The new Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio has been very, very instrumental in making this happen. They have put all of their effort and resources at the disposal of people like Janet Folger and Lori Vaya, who really are the heroes in this whole thing. They've stood strong all the way through the past 9 years, never blinked, kept going. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, some of the problem was that the the statewide Right to Life group was not behind it. That changed 2 years ago when Right to Life Action Coalition formed and all the major city, metropolitan areas joined together to support the Heartbeat Bill. And I think that has made a huge difference. And it's so exciting to see what's happening right now.
Well, that's right. And elections do matter. And those that are listening, we want to commend you for voting for pro-life candidates as we provide information to you through the Ohio Christian Alliance Voter Guide, through scorecards, through various Right to Life groups, so that you can vote for candidates that defend the unborn and support the life issue. And over the years in Ohio, we've been successful in bringing a large constituency of elected office holders into both the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate that support the life issue, and we've been able to turn the tables to a point in which now we have enough in the Ohio House and Ohio Senate with a governor who has pledged to sign the Heartbeat Bill. Mark Harrington, your thoughts.
Well, it's been a long road, Chris, as you know. We were standing on the south steps of the State House in 2011 when we introduced this bill for the first time with Janet Porter. And we maybe had a dozen sponsors at that time. It's been a long road. I mean, Governor Kasich vetoed it twice. As Molly mentioned, the statewide Right to Life chapter did not endorse it. And frankly, that had a lot to do with it not getting done sooner. But in God's timing, we now have a governor who will sign it. Looks like it's going to happen. And frankly, to me, it's just the beginning. If it weren't for the Heartbeat Bill in Ohio, we would not be now looking at the total ban of abortion with the Life of Conception Act, which is the next logical step to ending abortion altogether in Ohio.
Well, that's right. And yesterday we had expert witnesses that came in to testify in the sponsor's proponent testimony hearing. It is in the Senate Health Committee, chaired by Senator Burke at this time. And yesterday we were able to bring in Dr. Altman as an expert witness. The Ohio Christian Alliance sponsored her to come in through the Lozier Institute, and she presented testimony. She is a medical doctor, associate scholar at the Lozier Institute, a board-certified OBGYN, and fellow American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She presented her testimony in support of the Heartbeat Bill yesterday in Senate Bill 23. In fact, her compelling testimony was that she, at one time, as a medical doctor, she did perform abortions in the first and second trimesters. She herself said that she had had an abortion, that she believed the feminist lie about that it was a woman's right to choose. But then she gave this compelling testimony, Mark, of how she came to an epiphany of life in the womb, and then she became obviously pro-life and is now using her skill to go around the country and testify in support of pro-life legislation. Your thoughts and impressions of Dr. Kathy Altman yesterday?
Well, Chris, it was a mic drop moment. I mean, I don't know how anyone on that committee or anybody in that room can walk out of there and be supportive of abortion after listening to her. It was that powerful, and we had the opportunity to interview her afterwards, and she gave testimony that, you know, at this point, it just seals the deal. One thing that was interesting, and just a side note, a lot of folks out there, even in our side of the equation, are questioning whether this law will be enforceable or not, because we're allowing the abortionists to do the ultrasound, and the argument is that they won't, you know, detect the baby and they'll let the abortion go on. Dr. Altman had a great answer for that, and I was very encouraged to hear that from her. As someone who's actually performed abortions, she said that, you know, well, they can lose their licensure. And I thought, well, do abortionists really care about that? Well, apparently they do. And she also said that the pathology would confirm the, you know, the age of the baby, and if that doesn't line up, and if they didn't perform an ultrasound and detect a heartbeat, then you know, that could be cause for women to come back and sue. So no law is perfect. Obviously, we're relying on people to follow the law. If we banned abortion in Ohio today, there are going to be people that are going to break the law. That's just the way it is. We've got to find a way to better enforce this, but I think at this point we've got a strong bill, and it's going to save lots of lives.
Mm-hmm. Her testimony was so compelling, and I know, Molly, you have heard many of these testimonies over the years, and they are heart-wrenching. They are actually emotional to hear the subject matter, because we are talking about human life. We're talking about life in the womb, and we're talking about the destruction of it. So when you hear those who believe the lie and were involved with the abortion industry and were actually had their hands involved in ending innocent human life in the womb, but have now come to the place in reality and the conviction that, that life is sacred and needs to be protected. Your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with you on that, Chris, because I feel that the more times we can, in public, shine a light on what this actually is, the better it will be. And that is what I think the Heartbeat Bill has been doing for 9 years now. They have been shining the light, and it's taken 9 years to get to this point. And as you know, as we've all already commented on, the fact that even those of us that we thought would be on our side with regards to the Heartbeat Bill were not supportive of it, because of whatever reason is, but it eventually wears you down. You eventually have to say, yes, this is absolutely right. We have to protect this life. When a heart is beating, there is absolutely no doubt that that is a human heart, and that human heart must be protected. And I think that is what has, you know, really has got through to that. And as I say again, I can't say enough good things about Janet Porter and Lori Vaier, who really have invested to action is just how incredibly wonderful they've been in keeping this going. Even, and I will be very honest about it, even at the beginning, right at the beginning when this first started to come out, I was not that necessarily that supportive of it, because I bought the same lie that Ohio Right to Life has been giving out for 9 years. And that is, oh, it's not going to withstand a court challenge. Well, the interesting thing was that that's exactly what Senator Roebner is asking. She says what we are aiming for is a court challenge. So it's funny. It's wonderful to watch how God works. Just turns the whole thing on its head when we allow him to take control of it. And I think that's exactly what's happened here.
This is Molly Smith, president of Cleveland Right to Life, inviting you to the annual Bringing America Back to Life convention on March 8th and 9th at the Embassy Suites in Independence, Ohio. Come and meet actor Nick Loeb and producer Kathy Allen, co-producers of the dramatic film Roe v. Wade the Movie, and George Dennehy, who was born without arms but believes that every individual has a purpose and absolutely anything is possible. Join us. Don't miss any of the 20-plus speakers with their compelling life messages. Go to bringingamericabacktolife.org or call 440-458-6240.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance. We have an online petition to support the Covington Catholic High School students. The petition reads, "Today I join the Ohio Christian Alliance and my fellow concerned citizens in calling for the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department to investigate the dangerous threats that were made against the Covington Catholic High School students and to secure their safety and security. It is important for us as a Christian advocacy organization to stand with these students who simply went to the March for Life and were expressing their civic responsibility to stand for the unborn. They became the target of counter-protesters and a hate campaign that was generated by social media. Join us in signing the petition to support the Covington Catholic High School students by logging on to ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance." You know, one of the things that came out of yesterday's hearing, many of our organizations submitted written testimonies so we could defer our time to the expert witnesses that were coming in, the medical doctors, the OBGYNs that came in to testify, the ultrasound technicians that were testifying, and women that testified. But I want to just read to you one of the excerpts from my testimony. "The debate will continue as to when life in the womb is viable, but the simplest member of our society understands that if a heart is beating, that is life, and it should not be ended. It should be said, it is said that the first voice that God gives the unborn child in the womb is a beating heart, one which the doctor, the mother, and anyone with a listening device can now determine there's a heartbeat. I hear it." And you know, that's why Dr. Wilkie said to me on the phone, when I also with you, Molly, because our position as an organization, we believe that life begins at conception and that all life is worthy of protection under the law, including nascent human life. And I said, Dr. Wilkie, you have traveled the world and you have lectured on protecting embryonic life to speak against the destruction of human embryo under the guise of science and benefit, medical science and benefit. I said, are we changing the narrative? Are we moving the line to the heartbeat? He says, no. But he said, Chris, this has captivated the public's attention like nothing else. How many families hear the heartbeat and the rejoice of a grandchild or a child that's about to be born? Well, I said, well, doctor, we're on board. And so from that time, Mark, as you remember, we were on board in the beginning, and we told Janet that we would be. And then we were there at the atrium when all of us gathered together. Dr. Wilkie was there at that time. You know, I think of him and Dr. Nathanson and some of the champions of the life who have since gone on, who have been defenders of life. We've been in this movement a long time. Molly, you and Mark and I both have, the three of us. You know, I go back 40 years ago, as I remember, you know, at the clinics in Akron in Northeast Ohio and picketing, but also being available as counselors, sidewalk counselors to those that were coming. And so there's been a lot of people come and go in their intensity in the life movement. Molly, you've been doing it for many years. Mark, you've dedicated your life for this. Your thoughts on that? Mark?
Well, what else is someone going to do when there's a Holocaust happening? I mean, I'm thankful for the comments there, but things aren't normal when you're butchering 60 million children in America. It's just the logical thing to do, and I would hope others would take up that battle as well. But, you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and count our chickens before they hatch, as they say. This is not a done deal yet.
That's right.
And, you know, the enemy of our souls and life is out to sabotage this effort. So we need to keep our radar up. I mean, things look good. Looks like it's going to happen. But don't be surprised if we get some 11th hour, you know, curveball here coming from the other side, or who knows.
Well, we've been jaded.
We don't want to
obviously
think in those terms, but I'll be ready to celebrate when this thing's signed into law. Let's do that together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and here's what we need to do. And listeners, we want you to join us in praying for the legislators, because they're going to be not only receiving friendly proponent hearings like yesterday, they're also going to have opponent hearings when the opposition, NARAL, Planned Parenthood, those who are rallying and actually celebrating their abortions are coming to the state house. God help us. And they're going to be in long hours of testimony with these people in the room. And you need to pray, because it's a spiritual battle, isn't it, Molly?
It really is. And you know, it was very interesting. We went around the state house about 10 days ago, just talking to different legislators, and we were with Senator Christina Rogner, and it was very, very, very encouraging for me, Mark, to your point about, you know, the fact we mustn't count our chickens until they've all hatched. But one of the things that she asked us to do, she said, please don't stop doing this. Please continue to pray for me. Pray for all of us that are involved in this, because this is a spiritual battle. So I am very, very encouraged when we have our legislators that recognize this, that it is a spiritual battle, that they are involved in a spiritual battle. I think God will be protecting us, but we have to keep the prayers going, and we have to keep on standing beside them, with them, giving them the encouragement that they need as they go forward. Because I think we've got some things coming up. It's going to be horrible when we get the proponent testimony. We're going to hear terrible things, but we have to just keep focused, keep moving forward. So I'm encouraged. I'm very encouraged.
Absolutely. Here's an excerpt from Dr. Altman's testimony yesterday. She said, I continued to do abortions without reservation, even while pregnant. But after my delivery, I made the connection between fetus and baby. The fact that the baby was unwanted was no longer enough justification for me to kill it. Although I could no longer do abortions, I continued to believe that abortion was a woman's right. My views changed during my practice as I saw young women who did amazingly well after deciding to keep their unplanned pregnancies, in contrast to those who were struggling with the emotional and physical complications of abortion. That wasn't consistent with the feminist rhetoric I had embraced. Dr. Altman, of the Lozier Institute. And isn't that so true, Molly, that
true.
Some
that
women
so
believe
true.
The lie that if I just go through with this abortion, their boyfriend or someone's pushing them to just end the pregnancy, and yet it's a decision that stays with them the rest of their life. They
Absolutely.
Regret that decision. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, what I think we are going to hear from the opponents of this bill is going to be, you know, that it's already started, the fact that, you know, I think it was one of the senators from Winchester who asked if the state had enough pediatricians to care for children who were born to mothers who did not want them to become parents. It's like, oh, my goodness. You know, are we going to go down that route now and say, because we don't want you, we can kill you? It's unbelievable to see how inhumane we become when we go down this path. Mm-hmm. And as you say, Chris, the devastation, and I deal with it quite often, and I know Mark does as well, of women who have had the abortion, and they would do anything to roll back the clock, to turn back the clock so that they could take that back again. It's so final, it's done, it lives with them for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
We need to end abortion in Ohio.
Amen. Well, Molly, you have a wonderful conference that's coming up here in a few weeks, Bring America Back to Life at the Embassy Suites right here in Independence on March 8th and 9th. Tell us about the lineup and how people can register.
It's wonderful. BringingAmericaBackToLife.org. BringingAmericaBackToLife.org is the registration, is the website. You can register right on the website. And I have some exciting news. We will have Senator Roebner. Christina Roebner is going to be there on Friday at lunchtime. I'm hoping that just when she's there, by the time she gets there, we will have just cleared the heartbeat bill through the Senate. That's what our plan is, to have it go through the Senate. We're hoping it'll be pushed right through, and then, of course, it'll go to the House.
Yes.
But Senator Roebner will be there with us. We will also have Representative Ron Hood and also Representative Nina Vitale. The evening before the convention starts, the Attorney General is going to be coming through to visit with those of us that are planning the conference. So we've got a really good slate of people that are going to be there. The speakers are absolutely phenomenal. They've got a huge lineup. We've got Dr. Ryan T. Anderson, Alan Keyes. Many of you out there will know who Alan Keyes is. Was just an amazing man.
Yes.
We've got George Dennehy, who is a young man who was born with no arms. This just shows you the human exceptionalism, the human spirit that just does amazing things. This young man is the most amazing musician. He sings, he plays the guitar, he plays the cello, all with his feet. I mean, these are inspiring.
Oh, that's great. When will he be performing?
He will be performing Friday lunchtime. So anybody that wants to come there Friday lunchtime, he'll be there. Ryan Anderson will be there in the morning. Alan Keyes will be Saturday morning. We will also have the producers of the new movie, Roe v. Wade, the movie, Nick Loeb and Kathy Allen, will be with us on Saturday evening. And Star Parker, our dear friend Star Parker,
yes,
will be with us on Saturday evening. Yeah.
Well, Star is such a powerful message, because unfortunately she had several abortions. She said, I believe the lie that it was safe, yep, legal, and rare. And yep, she said, you know, the tragedy in my life of my abortion. So, and as an African-American woman, it's so powerful to hear her testimony. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, of course, Mark, she had an idea of what she wanted to see happen in the Black community. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, she called it the Negro Project, and that was to target African Americans for abortion using pastors, African American pastors and others. She called African Americans human weeds. She is an arch racist, you know, and Adolf Hitler was one of her idols. So her legacy, unfortunately, is being carried out even today by Planned Parenthood. And they are the number one enemy of life and the target of our work day in, day out. So,
And still receiving millions and millions in federal dollars in funding through the Obamacare project that came up short of overturning Obamacare. And that is such a tragedy that our tax money is going to fund that organization, so-called Planned Parenthood, and the atrocities that they, the nation's number one abortion group. You know, thanks to both of you for what you do in the pro-life cause and keeping it going. And, you know, we're going to continue to focus on the Covington Catholic High School students and all the students that go to March for Life and advocating for them. They became a target of that vitriol hatred, and we're still advocating for them. We do have updates on that. In fact, there's going to be charges filed against those who made threats against the Christian school and against the students. We're going to talk about that in the next half hour with Matt Staver, our good friend, Chief Counsel of Liberty Council. But Molly, again, the dates for Bring America Back to Life and how people register.
Okay, March 8th and 9th, coming up in 2 weeks, March 8th and 9th, and it will be bringingamericabacktolife.org is the website. Go there and register.
Wonderful. And mark your website so folks can find Created Equal.
CreatedEqual.org. That's CreatedEqual.org. And let's march on to make abortion, make Ohio abortion free once and for all.
Amen. There are many, many pro-life Ohioans that are fighting for the cause. God bless you all for your work. Pray for these organizations. Pray for our legislators as the spiritual battle continues at the Ohio State House as we defend life and see the passage of the Ohio Heartbeat Bill. Thank you both for joining us today. God bless you both.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Chris. Bye, Mark.
God bless, and we'll see you next week on News in Focus.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.